الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode on this inspiring silsila, The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, whichever country, whichever city, location, whatever season you are experiencing, we hope that you are well, that you are protected and keeping an eye on yourself and your family members, your offspring as well, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, we have another beautiful discussion today, which is for every Muslim out there, every Muslim family in particular, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal. So don't go anywhere. We will be continuing after we go over our routine of remembering the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrun Min Amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are so many benefits, so many blessings, if only we recall to make good intentions. Yes, we forget. It's easy to forget and thereby missing out on an abundance of rewards from the merciful court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's make some good intentions. Whenever you are listening or watching any silsila, any program of Madani Channel, start making your good intentions immediately so that you earn thawab from the get-go. And what kind of intentions? That, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm watching, I'm listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others as well. And like this, you can make other good intentions. When I hear the name of Allah, I will say Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, wa Azza wa Jal, wa Jalla Jalaluhu. When I hear the beloved and blessed name of Rasulullah, I will say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When I hear the name of any Sahabi, I will say Radiyallahu An. And any pious person or Wali, I will say Rahmatullahi Ali. And don't forget to make your dhikr in between. Say Subhanallah, say Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La Ilaha Illallah. By doing this with the intention of dhikr, then for each one that you say, if you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La Ilaha Illallah, then four trees are planted for you in Jannah. So why miss out on this? And today we have, it's a special transmission for Eid al-Adha. And don't go anywhere, inshallah, azawajal. Listen to this beautiful narration regarding the benefits and excellences of reciting Durood-e Pak and Salawat. The beloved master, the coolness of our eyes, the last prophet of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, the intercessor of the Ummah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, Man salla alayya fi yawmin alfa marratin lam yamut hatta yara maq'adahu min al-jannah. Allahu Akbar. You have heard this many a times. However, have we started to act upon it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites durood upon me 1,000 times a day will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. The ulama ikram have stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show this fortunate person their place in Jannah via a dream before they leave the dunya. So let's make up our mindset that every day we must dedicate some time for the recitation of Qur'an-e Pak, Durood-e Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah, and seeking knowledge of Deen. These are those things that will help us, will give us blessings and rewards in the grave and in the hereafter in particular. That's why we will really need it. Instead of wasting away our precious lives, short lives, in unnecessary conversations, useless activities that have no real benefit for us, then let us make up our mindset. Let us move away from that lifestyle, those bad habits of wasting our time, and engage in maximum ibadat, maximum worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maximum following the sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that person will truly be wise who does so. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We request our director sahab and our wonderful team to please inspire us with a beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Hazir tere darbar mein hum, hazir tere darbar mein hum. Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam. Sada ye chashme nam, deti ge sada ye chashme nam. Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam. Haibat se gharik gardan kham gaye, har aankh nadamat se nam hai, har aankh nadamat se nam hai. Har chehre pe hai ashkon se rakam, har chehre pe hai ashkon se rakam. Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam. Hazir tere darbar mein hum, hazir tere darbar mein hum. Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam. Jin logon pe gaye inaam tera, un logon mein likh de naam mera, un logon mein likh de naam mera. Mahshar mein mera reh jaye bharam, mahshar mein mera reh jaye bharam. Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam. Hazir tere darbar mein hum, hazir tere darbar mein hum. Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam. Har saal talab farma mujhko, har saal ye shagar dikha mujhko, har saal ye shagar dikha mujhko. Har saal karu main tawaf-e haram, har saal karu main tawaf-e haram. Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam. Hazir tere darbar mein hum, hazir tere darbar mein hum. Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam, Allah karam. Meri aane wali sab nasle tere ghar aaye, tera dar dekhe, tere ghar aaye, tera dar dekhe. دیکھیں اسباب غون کو ایسے بہم، اسباب غون کو ایسے بہم۔
اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم،
حاضر ہے تیرے دربار میں ہم، حاضر ہے تیرے دربار میں ہم۔
اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم،
اس ورد میں عمر کٹے ساری، ہونٹوں پہ سبھی ہی رہے جاری، ہونٹوں پہ سبھی ہی رہے جاری۔ اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم،
اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم،
حاضر ہے تیرے دربار میں ہم، حاضر ہے تیرے دربار میں ہم۔
اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم،
دیتی ہے صدا یہ چشمِ نم، دیتی ہے صدا یہ چشمِ نم۔
اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم اللہ کرم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاء اللہ عز و جل، وین ایور وی ہیئر دیز بیوٹیفل کلامز، اٹ برنگز اباؤٹ دیٹ انتوزیازم ان اور ہارٹس اینڈ اور مائنڈز ایز ویل، اینڈ اٹ ڈراز اور اٹینشن ٹوورڈز دا ریممبرنس آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی، اٹ ڈراز اور اٹینشن ٹوورڈز دا لو آف نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، صحابہ کرام، اہل البیت، اولیاء اللہ۔ And this is necessary for you and I, especially in today's day and age where families are falling out with each other, where domestic difficulties, domestic disputes are on the increase, where there's problems between husband and wife, children and parents, brothers and sisters. Allahu Akbar. These are only increasing. Remember, the further that we drift away from Islamic teachings, Islamic values, Islamic practices, the more problems we invite in our lives. Only by following the decadent and backward ways of other cultures, of man-made institutions that are promoting immorality and immodesty, we'll just sink further and further into the swamp of sins, into more and more difficulties. Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us understanding. There is a beautiful narration, a thought-provoking narration, where two sisters, they decided to get their children married to each other, one their son and the other her daughter. Now the girl had very poor vision, and she had to wear glasses. After some time, there was an argument between the two sisters. And the one sister said that, I was thinking about this, and how can I marry off my perfect son to your deficient daughter, to your daughter who is blind, who can't see properly? Allahu Akbar. When the sister hears this, she became shocked and so saddened by it, Allahu Akbar, that my own sister is picking on her niece, my daughter, and belittling her in this manner, Allahu Akbar. Anyways, after breaking off that relationship, the sister goes home. The one who was belittling the other sister's daughter, she goes home. And as she's at home, She asks the help of her son, the same son, to fix some iron pipings in the house. And as the son is fixing it, one of the pipes, it breaks off, it falls down, and it hits him in the eye, damaging his eye permanently, where he can't use this eye anymore. And when his mother, when she sees this, she, what resonates in her mind, in her thoughts, she starts to think about the hurtful words she used against her own niece, her sister's daughter, that how can I marry my perfect son to a deficient, defective daughter like yours? Because she couldn't see properly. Allahu Akbar. But she couldn't do anything about it. What goes around comes around sooner than we know. What we will do to others today, tomorrow somebody will do to us as well. If we are there to assassinate people's character, people's reputations, if we are there to break off family ties, if we are there that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed me with wealth, with influence in society, so I don't keep in touch with my own brothers and sisters because they are poor, because they are financially deprived, I don't keep in touch with them, I don't visit them, I don't like when they come to my home because they are poor people and I associate with the rich people, with the influential people. Allahu Akbar. We see it so many times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He blesses somebody with wealth, then that comes with responsibility as well. Because rich today and tomorrow the person can become poor very quickly, overnight in some cases. And poor today, then if Allah wants to bless that person, then within no time that person can become wealthy. How many families have we seen who were once wealthy but lost everything? One of the problems is because the children ended up doing drugs and using all of the profits of the business in that evil and sinful habit, thereby destroying the business of the family. Or maybe the youngster who's placed in charge didn't take it on with full responsibility of growing the business. Rather kept it to the workers, you all do the work, me, I'm going to have a good time. I'm just going to enjoy the profits with my friends here, there, maybe in the clubs, maybe in the pubs, in the entertainment centers, at the cinemas. And what happens? Slowly but surely, the workers now, some of them are dishonest and they'll say, hey, the boss is not here, the boss's son is not here. So nobody's there to see, nobody's there to supervise. Then every day, maybe a little bit, they'll put in their pockets. At the end of the day, the business runs at a loss. Allahu Akbar. So what we do to others will be done to us as well. The glorious Quran has mentioned in Surah Ar-Rum, Verse 38.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فآت ذا القربى حقه والمسكين وابن السبيل ذلك خير للذين يريدون وجه الله يريدون وجه الله وأولئك هم المفلحون.
Translation from Kanz al-Iman. Therefore, give the relative his right, and to the needy, and to the traveler. This is better for those who seek the pleasure of Allah, and only they have achieved their goal. Furthermore, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 83, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ.
Translation from Kanz al-Iman. And be good to parents and relatives and orphans and the needy. Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmadiyar Khan Na'imi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, a great scholar of Islam, he has mentioned with regards to this, the above mentioned blessed ayah, that In this ayah, we are commanded to do our relatives a favor, to be good to our relatives. Favors should be done to one's parents because they deserve it the most. Other relatives after the parents that we should be close to and to keep close contact and to make firm our relationship with them. From the father's side, the paternal grandfather, grandmother, uncle and auntie. And from the mother's side, the maternal grandfather, grandmother, uncle and auntie as well. Now I want you to ask yourself that if you have a solid and good relationship with your close family members in particular, with your siblings, with your maternal and paternal grandparents, uncle and aunts, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, that is something truly great indeed. And that is something worthy of gaining blessings and thawab. Because one is then following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands of the glorious Quran, and the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in cementing and making those family ties solid and firm. But on the other hand, if I have domestic problems and disputes and fallouts and arguments with my own siblings, with my own maternal side or paternal side family members, then should I not be the one to try and rectify the situation? If there's no shari'i prohibitions, should I not be the one to take the first step and to make that call or at least to visit them? You know, fulfilling their rights, it's not about that, okay, if they visit me, then I will visit them. If they give me some gift, then I will give them some gift. If they phone me, then I will phone them. Why should we wait for each other? Even if the other person doesn't keep in touch with us, I must take this responsibility on myself to fulfill their rights and keep in touch with them. Whether it's once a week, whether it's once in 2 weeks, once a month, but keep that communication open. Don't just sideline them. Don't just leave them in the lurch that, you know what, because family is first. That's how it was always, and that's how it must be. It should be like this, because this is what our deen teaches us. Islam places a lot of emphasis when it comes to fulfilling the rights of each other, the relatives in particular, the family. That's your closest circle. That is where you are to get your moral support, not by strangers out there. One of the signs of Qiyamah, a person would curse their ancestors, those who came before them. Oh, well, what did they leave for us? They didn't even leave any business for us. They didn't leave any wealth for us. What they did? They did nothing for us. Allahu Akbar. Because of them, you are here. Because of your ancestors, because of your grandparents, your parents, you are here. And because of your parents especially, you have been given so many opportunities from an educational perspective, from an Islamic perspective, worldly education, Islamic education. Who is the one who rushed to the hospital, to the doctor when you were ill and when you were little? Perhaps you won't even remember it. Maybe you were 1 year old, few months old. You were 2-3 years old. Maybe you won't remember. But who used to sleep late at night because your stomach was paining or your ear was paining as an infant? Your parents, your mother in particular, used to sleep late at night, and they didn't mind it because this is my child, this is my baby, this is my son, this is my daughter. But how ungrateful are many of us that although we don't recall, we won't remember those times, still, what am I giving back? How is my attitude towards my parents and towards my siblings, towards my family members? How do I communicate? How do I talk to them? Do I scream and shout and swear and use vulgar words? Do I belittle them? Do I feel like I'm better than them? Allahu Akbar. So family first. These are your true friends. A time will come when people won't want to be in the company of their parents, but will love to be with their friends. And guess what? The entertainment industry today, largely, we're talking about the, from the musical perspective, the music industry, the acting industry that's there. These industries primarily, these are the agencies of shaitan. And one of the things, amongst so many things, they always promote alcohol to the viewers. They promote clubs and drugs and music and singing and dancing and intermingling of men, women, boys and girls. They promote premarital, extramarital relationships. They promote zina and riba, interest usually. They promote immodesty, immorality, living a lifestyle with no responsibility, living a lifestyle which is in essence contradictory to the natural, normal way that Islam teaches us, against the values and teachings of Islam. Who does that? Shaitan. These are his agencies, his marketing agencies through which he promotes all of this filth and impurities. Be careful for this. And they're doing it, they are doing it even through the cartoons. Yes, catch them when they're young. We think the cartoons are innocent. They are not quite innocent. Just look at the dress of the cartoon characters. What are they teaching your little sons and daughters? No burqa, no scarf, no pants, no sleeves, singing and dancing and listening to music, girlfriend and boyfriend relationships. In the cartoons as well, they're teaching violence, they're propagating all things of immorality, immodesty and impurity as well. And your little child is consuming those, that content. And then tomorrow we want to know why they want, when they go to the shop, they say, oh, okay, this is the cartoon character. I want that bag with that cartoon figure's face. Well, I want this doll because based on this cartoon. Well, I want this figurine. Well, I want this kind of pencil case that has a picture of the cartoon character that I like. Marketing. They indoctrinate your children so that they force you, no, I want this and I want this. Allahu Akbar. So be careful. Train your children before they receive the indoctrination and training from these evil forces that are agents of shaitan. You as the mother or father, you as the grandparent, you as one who has authority in your family, needs to do the training before these snakes get to them. Think about it. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka, ya sayyidi, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming back, what is my relationship with my family members, with my relatives? Starting with my parents, with my siblings, and with my close family members. If it is not good, then don't waste time. Life is just too short. Almost every day, we get messages that a certain person's janazah is taking place at this time, at this place. Certain person has passed away, certain person has become marhum. And one day, my name and your name is going to appear in those messages as well. That so-and-so is now late. So-and-so is going to be, janazah salah is going to take place at this place. And the burial will be in this graveyard. Our name is going to go down as well. That's inevitable. We can't escape death. No matter what we try, no matter what supplements, what medications, what surgeries we do, your date, your age, it's fixed. And when your leaf falls from the tree, the angel of death is going to visit you. We can lock ourselves away from everybody. But when your time is up, before the time is up, do something. Do something positive. Leave a positive legacy behind for your family. So people tomorrow when they remember us, hey, what a good person that he was. Allah Azza wa Jalla grant him maghfirah. He used to help so many people. He used to advise so many people. He had such wonderful and refined characters. His akhlaq was Madina, Madina. He used to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was punctual with his salah. He used to give, although he didn't have much, but he used to give sadaqat and charities and help people. I mean, imagine, after our passing away, people talk about us like that and make dua for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him from the adab of the qabr and the akhirah. May Allah jalla jalaluhu grant him a place in Jannatul Firdaus in the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imagine, that's if we left a good Islamic positive legacy behind. Allahu Akbar. And people send Isa alayhi sawab to us as well. So think about all of these things that we are talking about before the time is up. The time can be today. The time could be after 10 hours, 1 hour, 1 minute. We don't know where, we don't know when, we don't know how. Allah and His Rasul knows best. Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no time to cut off connections and relations with family members. Yes, if there's no shari'i prohibition, then do your best. If each person thought like that, instead of thinking that, no, I'll wait for them to invite me to their home. I'll wait for them to pick up the phone and call me. I'll wait for them to send me a gift. Then how can we make it work? But if every person, each person in the family thought that, you know what, no, I'm going to take it upon my shoulders and my responsibility to make the contact first, to send a gift. When talking about gift, we don't mean buying them a tablet or a phone or something expensive. It can be anything, even something. It's the thought that counts. Hey, they thought about us, man. At least they brought something and came. Allahu Akbar. Even if you just visit them, some family members could be overseas, could be abroad. So obviously you cannot visit them often, but in those days they would send letters. Maybe after a few weeks or months, it would reach to the destination. Today, use technology. Technology is there. Social media is there. All these different apps are there in order to facilitate and help us to communicate with each other in real time. You can be sitting here and the other person, you could be sitting in your home or your office or wherever it is, and your family member, your close family member could be on the other side of the earth. But subhanAllah, through technology, you can pick up the phone and you can give them a call, or you can even video call, and in real time, you can see them, you can see each other, you can talk to each other, communicate with each other. Imagine if you did this once a week, or at least once in 2 weeks. I know we all busy. We all get caught up in the rat race of life with work, and sometimes people are putting overtime. Sometimes people are busy with their courses and their studies and with their family and with their children and these different kinds of responsibilities. Yes, that is there for each and every one of us. And how we need to take our time, dedicate some time every day for our ibadat, for the recitation of Quran and Qur'an Pak, Durood Pak, Istighfar, Dhikrullah. How about taking out some time at least once a week or every fortnight, once every 2 weeks, take out some time. Put the reminder on your phone if you need to. Because yes, we get busy, we forget. But put the reminder on your phone at least that, okay, contact so-and-so. Maybe my mother, father, brother, sister, uncle, auntie. Contact them, make, you know, send them a message at least. At least once a week, send them a message. And once in 2 weeks, phone them. Once a month, video call them. And, I mean, the person will feel so nice that, hey, at least my brother or my sister is keeping in touch with me. At least my maternal uncle or auntie, my paternal uncle or auntie is keeping in touch with me. Allahu Akbar. It makes a big difference. If you cannot be there physically to visit them, perhaps they are overseas or in another city far away, but you're in the same country, at least you're keeping in touch with a message. It can be a simple message. Make your salam. I hope that you're well. We just want to find out how you're doing. How's the family? You know, these simple things. It's the thought that counts. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As it is very rewardable to mend relations, to keep one's relationship with their family members firm and intact, there's great thawab in it. The opposite is true as well. To break off relations where the Sharia does not permit, there's great sin in that. This is an act which leads to the fires of Jahannam. If only we can understand. The beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the best sadaqah, Sadaqah we understand as charity, as donation, as spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best sadaqah is that which is given to the relative who bears enmity in the heart. Who bears enmity in the heart. It is because giving sadaqah to the family who bears enmity in the heart is sadaqah as well as good treatment with the one who breaks off relations. Allahu Akbar. So that family member has some argument with you, doesn't communicate with you, doesn't visit you and doesn't want you to visit them. So are you going to live like that? Where you will live like that and then the future generations will live like that as well? You know what that reminds us of? The period of Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance, the pre-Islamic era, when the tribes used to war with each other over trivial, insignificant matters, and sometimes those problems used to continue in the next generations. That you had a problem with my father, so I will have a problem with you. So is that the kind of mentality we as Muslims should have? Absolutely not. We are there to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to do, what the Quran orders us to do, and that is to mend those relations, subhanallah. Scholars have mentioned that if you spend charity on your family, you will get double the thawab, double the reward. We hear the famous saying that charity begins at home. These kind of good concepts, beautiful concepts, exist in Islam practically. And here we learn that by spending on your family, charity to your family, there's double reward. One is for the sadaqah, for giving the charity itself, for the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Not that, you know what, okay, there is something in it for me if I give my sadaqah over here. Oh, okay, that I'll give this person my charity, he's my family member, but he is going to owe me. Not with that intention. To make my Allah Azza wa Jal happy and to mend this relationship, to keep the relationship strong and to further strengthen it. So you get the thawab of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also by keeping that relationship strong or mending that relationship. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as mentioned, today's entertainment industry largely, they want to distance ourselves primarily from our family members, from our parents. And the way they have marketed it in the movies, in the dramas, in the soapies, is that my friends are the ones who understand me. The friends, when I'm with them, I don't have to worry, no pressure, no tension, no stress. We're just there to chill and to relax. These are the people that give me the right advice. My parents, the way they've created this indoctrination via the entertainment industry, is that your parents are old-fashioned. They are old school. They are holding you back. They're holding you back from fulfilling your dreams and your goals. The people that love you with no conditions attached, with no strings attached, unconditionally, is your mother and your father. If you still have them, cherish them. Ask those whose parents are no more. Ask them, they'll tell you. They'll tell you that they miss them. But whilst they're alive, make their khidmat, you know, serve them, please them. They won't be there for a very long time. And don't you want your children to serve you and please you when you are grown old? That mother, that father, they worked hard their whole life to ensure that you are where you are. Especially if you've got a good education and you have good manners and good social etiquettes. They worked hard behind the scenes. Maybe you don't realize, maybe you don't know what they went through. And now maybe they've gone old and you feel like they're not contributing anything. My wife is the one who's cooking at home.
I'm the one who's paying the bills. My parents are just sitting back, retired, not doing anything. Allahu Akbar. They had their time. Because of them, you are where you are. Now it's your time. It's your time to look after them. You can't just dispose of your parents like that in these old age homes or these euphemistically care centers. Is that what you want your kids to do when you are grown old and feeble and helpless, to chuck you and throw you in the old age home? Is that what you want? Remember the incident I mentioned in the beginning? What goes around comes around. It comes around sooner than we know. And above that, there is accountability in the hereafter. That how we treated our parents, how you think the parents are going to feel? The mother and father are going to feel? How do you think your siblings are going to feel if you just throw them one side? You are more friendly and you are smiling and you are more hospitable to friends who are strangers actually, compared to your own blood, your own family members. What a travesty. How sad is that? And yes, there's accountability on the day of judgment. And what you do to them will be done to you, perhaps via your own children. You are sacrificing, you're working overtime, you are breaking your back to ensure the late nights, to ensure that my child has the best education, goes to the best school and college and madrasa or jamia, that my child has the opportunities that maybe I never had, that I take him for this lesson, that lesson, extra classes, because I want to see them succeed. Your parents were once like that to you. Maybe they didn't have the resources that you had. Maybe they created facilities for you that they never had. So you are doing the same for your offspring, for your children. But very soon, you are going to grow old. And then how you're treating your parents is how your kids, in all probability, will end up treating you as well. So be kind. Lower your wing of mercy. It's a beautiful dua, Quranic dua, that we should make after every salah. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. That we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on our parents, how they had mercy when we were little, when we were small. We were helpless. We couldn't feed ourselves. We couldn't clothe ourselves. Parents did it. And in some cases, the uncles and aunties, they could have helped. But we were not there to witness. We were not there to witness it because we were infants. We didn't have the understanding. Maybe we don't remember. Allahu Akbar. So think about these concepts. And the basic family, the basic unit in a society, according to the Islamic teachings, is the family unit. And this is why we say family first. It's not the individual. The individual cannot live by themselves. If you take a person and throw him onto an island, the person may become insane, because we are social beings. We need people around us. That's the human being. And so the family unit is the basic unit, comprising of maybe the parents, the children, grandparents, maybe grandchildren, siblings, because that society, each society is comprised of family units, families. And Shaitan tries his best. He tries. He slips in there and he whispers in the hearts and the minds. And he puts evil thoughts in the minds against each other of jealousy, maybe backbiting, maybe thinking evil, thinking negative of your brother or your sister, your mother, your father, or your grandparents. No, evil and false assumptions. He whispers sometimes in our own voice, in our own sound, he whispers, thereby creating a rift between family members. That's what he wants. One of the things he works very hard to do is to create friction between families, between family members. And once he creates problems in that family and there's arguments, there's sometimes verbal exchanges, there's psychological, emotional attacks, there's physical assaults. Once he does that, he can break up the family unit, the nuclear family as they call it. Then he knows, if he does that to the different families in that community, in that society, then there's no sukoon in that society. There's no tranquility. There's no harmony in that society, because a basic unit, he has disrupted the normal order of it. And he's happy. Who gets happy? If your family members have a problem with each other, then it's not going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not going to please Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's going to please shaitan. So before the next time, before you say, before you do, especially in the fit of rage and anger, rather keep quiet. This is where self-control comes in. And move away from the person or thing that is making you upset. And later, with a cool mind, in a calm disposition, then address the problem, not the person. Don't attack the person, attack the problem. It's called ad hominem, meaning that a person will attack the individual instead of attacking the problems. And it's so simple to diffuse these situations. If only we work together and we work hard as well. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi, ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Surah Al-Hadid, verse 20. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. You should know that the life of this world is nothing but a play and an amusement and adornment, and you boasting amongst yourselves and the desire to surpass each other in wealth and children. Allahu Akbar. In Siratul Jinan, which is one of the authentic tafsirs and commentaries of the glorious Quran, it is mentioned there with regards to this verse of the Holy Quran that the life of this world is fun and frolic, and keep working hard only to get it is nothing but a waste of time. To receive, to get involved in recreational activities and amusements and entertainments, the person has wasted their time, and they'll realize this completely when they are standing there on Maidani Hashr, the field of gathering, that how I wasted my life away. And even when the angel of death is staring them in the face, that, oh, time is up. What did I do? Some people will say, Ya Allah, send me back, please. Send me back one more. Give me one more chance. Give me one more life. I'll go back and I will obey you. I will worship you. I will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will follow the teachings of the Quran. I will give sadaqah, I will do good. I will mend relations with my family members. There's no going back. There's no coming back after death. Allahu Akbar. The time is now. And fortunate are those people who realize it. Who instead of wasting away their precious time, our life must revolve around our five daily salahs. And again, family first. Give enough time, sufficient time. Yes, from this time to this time, I'm at work. From this time to this time, I need to go as a man to the masjid for salah. And give some time on a daily basis. It doesn't have to be hours and hours, no. Some time, every day. Consistency is important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those good acts that are done, which are small but are done all the time, every time. Consistency. Compared to that good act which is huge, but done once in a blue moon, occasionally. Please each other. There's a beautiful hadith that mentions, the summary of which is that exchange gifts and your love will grow. Allahu Akbar. Those gifts don't have to be expensive gifts. It can be something which may be seen as insignificant. Again, it's the thought that counts. That, hey, they thought about me. Allahu Akbar. So please each other within the confines of the Sharia. Please each other as much as possible. So that don't allow shaitan to jump in there and create that space and that gap between y'all. Oh, you know, my brother, my sister, they're staying somewhere else, but they don't keep in touch. They're in their own dunya, in their own world. My family members, you know, they don't even ask how I am. I'm going through some difficulty in my life right now. But who cares? Nobody is worried about me. Keep in touch. Keep in touch as much as possible. Nobody's saying every day you must phone. Once a week, again, at least once a week, send a message at least. At least once in 2 weeks, give them a call. I just phoned to find out how you're doing, how's everything. And give them that moral support that's due from you as a family member. And at least once a month, if possible, you know, do a video call. You know, hey, I was thinking about you. And they'll feel it. I know you will feel it. I will feel it. That my family, hey, you know, although I'm so busy, they're so busy, at least they're sending me a message to find out how I'm doing. It seems simple, but believe me, it has a lasting effect. And the person becomes thankful and remembers you. They remember you in their du'as also. That nephew of mine, that niece of mine, the uncle or auntie of mine, you know, they always sending me messages of motivation, always inquiring after me, Allahu Akbar. And that's what Islam wants from us. Islam wants from us to make firm our family relationships, because family first. Allahu Akbar. Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the number one hadith narrator, he reports that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, the earth will spit out its beloved ones who will be like the pillars of gold and silver. Seeing it, a murderer will say, I murdered because of this, because of wealth. One who broke off relations will say, I broke off relations because of wealth. And seeing this, the thief will say, my hand was cut because of this wealth. Then all of them will leave the wealth and nobody will get anything from there. Hakim al-Ummah Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, that time gold and silver will become very insignificant and the excess will make them very insignificant. Then feeling sad, the sinners will say, alas, our body parts were cut because of this insignificant thing. Allahu Akbar. If we're just chasing dunya, if we're just worried about that, if we make that our goal, you and I will suffer. Use the dunya. Use the resources of the dunya to create safety and comfort for your grave and the hereafter. How can I do that? Dawud Islami is there for you. Dawud Islami has the departments, the platforms, the facilities, even online as well. Contribute your sadaqat, your zakah, your sadaqat in nafila, wajiba, towards our causes, towards the building of masajid, towards the building of Jami'atul Madinas, Madrasatul Madinas, Darul Madinas, and so much more. Because this is part of the legacy you can leave behind. This is part of the real wealth that you would own. Because you'll see these benefits in the grave, in the form of good deeds, in the form of rewards and thawab as well. And it will benefit you on the Day of Judgment. Not what wealth you left behind in your bank accounts, in your investments, in your cupboards, in your safes. Then it will be distributed amongst the heirs. And if we did not train them according to Islamic guidelines, then in all probability, they would be fighting with each other to get more share than is due to them. Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us understanding. Associate yourself closely, yourself and your offspring, with this beautiful Madani movement, this global movement of Quran and Sunnah, that you know that I have left my offspring in the right place, so their beliefs, the iman would be protected, the aqidah will be safe, the iman will be safe through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they'll be in the right company. Allah azza wa jal grant us understanding. The day of Eid is a day of celebration, it's a day of putting family first. It is a day of cementing family relationships. It is a day of trying to please each other as a family and to make those bonds solid. Enjoy the Eid, but enjoy it responsibly within the confines of the Sharia. Until next time, same place, same time, only on your Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Start your day with remembrance of us.